Welcome back to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL, just about 7 minutes past the hour on Tuesday, the 3rd of February. We have in our studios right now a very special guest with us this morning. His name is Dan Galaska. He founded a company called Homeworks. We're going to talk to him a little bit about that. Dan, thanks for coming in and talking to us today.
Nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, Homeworks actually is a nonprofit ministry, 501c3. We were started in, actually founded in 2004. And the purpose of our ministry is twofold, actually. We support financially, we support church mission work as we're able. What we do most of is for families in the community that are in need of household goods, clothing, et cetera. As they come through our door, we will give them a voucher, and they can go through and pick out what they need from the store. We have a 12,000 square foot facility.
Wow.
Located in Douglasville, and we take most things for the home, from furniture and appliances to home decor, clothing, shoes, etc.
Wow, that's pretty special. 12,000 square feet ain't no small building.
It is not. It's pretty substantial. In fact, people are pretty surprised about the size when they come into the store. It looks smaller from the road, but you come inside, and we got some magic going on with that much space.
Sure, you do. Dan, how did you get into this line of work? Was there something that you had before this, or was this a, you know, what kind of transition did you have?
Well, it's not something I did before. My background actually was software and business applications. And I went through a career transition when the dot-com bubble burst back in 2000. And was really at the time searching for what God wanted me to do in my life. And really had the distinct impression that if I did not do this, that I would be disobeying God. Owning a thrift store actually is not something that I had a lifelong ambition to do. It was really my heart in following the Lord and just trying to please Him in what I was doing.
Sure. Now, all that being said, what is your mission at Homeworks?
Our mission is, again, twofold. It's financially support church mission work, which we've done as far as we've helped mission work as far as Haiti. The second aspect is, again, to help people that come in that are in need of household goods, clothing. We've helped people that have had fires. We've helped people that have had flooding. We've helped people that, for whatever time, they're just going through a tough time in their lives, and they need the type of assistance that we can provide with material goods.
Sure. Sure. I can imagine so. Now, you said it's a thrift store and everything like that.
Yes.
Is it like a traditional thrift store? Folks can come and go as they please? Or is this more specifically geared for just, you know, helping people that have fallen on tough times?
It is. It's not your typical thrift store. We are a little bit unique. Not only do we provide material goods, but we really care about the people that walk through our door. We want to establish relationship with them. Sometimes you can just tell when people come in that are hurting and they need help, whether it's material goods, whether it's spiritual help, whether they're seeking, whether they're just going through a tough time and need emotional help. And so, yes, we're concerned about their material goods, but ultimately we're really concerned about their spiritual health. And so whenever we can, we don't push ourselves on them, but whenever we can, if they need help, support emotionally, if they need support in regards to prayer, we'll take time out to pray with them and just get to know them a little bit better. And we've seen God work some miracles through that. So it's been a real journey and a real joy to see this.
That's wonderful. So, yeah, definitely typically not your average thrift store, I would say.
I don't believe we are. I think there's something that we have there that's unique. And I think it all centers around following the Lord and His calling.
Very well. I'm assuming there's donations are accepted. You know, said you're looking for a lot of home goods, decor, things like that for families. So, tell us about walk us through the donation process.
Yeah, we receive most things for the home, again, from furniture and appliances to housewares, home decor, clothing. And people can either call us at 610-385-6100 is the store number. They can either drop off their donations at our location in Douglasville, or they can arrange a pickup. We do offer a free pickup service for people that have large items such as furniture, large loads. And we'll make a time to come out generally within two to three days and pick those items up.
What would you say is probably the thing you need most?
We are in continual need of bedroom sets and large appliances, refrigerators and stoves. We have a constant need for that. So that's been a challenge for us. Generally, as soon as we get a refrigerator in, it's out the door. So I would encourage your listeners that if they are looking at upgrading major appliances and they still have units that are still in good working order, to give us a call. We'll be happy to come pick those up.
Now, if what if the appliance is not working properly? Is there is there a handyman on site, or is there?
Unfortunately, we do not have a handyman. That work would fall upon me, and I try not to get too involved in that. So we can do simple things, but if it's just flat out broken,
right? You're not.
We cannot do that.
Air conditioner, oven, refrigerator kind of mechanic, huh?
No, it generally needs to be working.
So certainly not a scrapyard either, right? That's not.
That's
right.
Yep.
I was going to say, where do you see yourself headed? Because you did have that transition, and this work is, as you said, kind of rewarding to you. But is this something you see yourself always doing?
Well, again, it's really going to follow. It's really going to depend upon where God has me and where He wants me to go. Right now, I feel He wants me to continue on with the ministry. And again, this is not something that we started just for us, so I do see this ministry continuing on. After we leave, it's just not about us. So for now, we're at Homeworks, and our mission is just to make it as successful as we can and have as great an impact on the community as we can.
I think it's definitely a great mission to have. When I was in high school, I did a bit of Habitat for Humanity and that kind of thing. And that was, that's just a hard day's work. But, because you do work side by side with a lot of those families. And that's something that you mentioned. You get folks that come in and, maybe they're just looking for some appliances. But maybe there's a deeper story there. And you try to, pull that out of them. So how important is, mission work to you?
Well, it's really what we're all about. As a Christian, our purpose here on this earth is really to advance God's kingdom. And so everything that we do, whether it's the ministry that I'm involved in, whether it's jobs in the secular world, it all points back to serving God and bringing glory to Him.
Do you take volunteers?
We do.
Yeah.
We do. We're always in need of volunteers. We encourage people, if they're interested in volunteering, give us a call, and we'll be happy to see where we can fit them in using their skill sets.
I was just going to ask, what kind of volunteer work, what kind of volunteer opportunities are there?
Well, let's see. Marketing would be helpful for me, because right now that falls upon me. We are always in need of people that are willing to come in and just roll up their sleeves and help us in the processing of the donations that come in. Unfortunately, not everything can be put out, so there's an effort that goes into that to clean items up, verify that items work, and display the items as well.
So definitely, I think, at least a few opportunities in order to volunteer for.
Oh, we have many.
If anybody wanted to get in contact with you for volunteer work, maybe to ask about your inventory, or just to seek you out in general, how would they do that?
They can do that through a couple of ways. The first is that they can call us at 610-385-6100. They can go to our website, homeworkspremiumthrift.org. homeworks.org. And they can also look us up on Facebook, Homeworks Premium Thrift.
So you do have a Facebook. So see, your marketing isn't too bad, right? You're good there.
Not too bad. We're getting there.
Wonderful. Well, Dan, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us today. It was really nice to talk to you. We wish you the best of luck. And one more time, why don't you run down those phone numbers and websites if anybody wants to get in contact with you.
Thank you for having me. The number is 610-385-6100. HomeworksPremiumThrift.org and Facebook, Homeworks Premium Thrift.
Wonderful. Dan Galaska of Homeworks in our studios right here. Go ahead and check him out online or give him a call. We're going to go to a commercial break. We will be right back. Stay right there. It's a new day here at 1180 WFYL. We have a surprise. Dan Galaska, during the break, was letting us know some of his stories. We asked him a little bit more questions off air. And Al, you asked him a terrific question, and I'd like you to reiterate that question. And Dan, you know, take it from there. Give us the whole picture here.
Well, we're very pleased to have you on our show this morning, and in particular, we have Mary, Dan's wife, right here, and I'm sure she has some things to share. And from my own personal experience with my wife's involvement in this radio station, I know she has to be a pillar of strength and support, and God is good to us to provide ladies like my wife Susan and Mary to Dan. But, yes, I'd like to know if Dan could enlighten us, and Mary later, perhaps, you know, some of the spiritual experiences. This is hard economic times, and I'm sure it's really, really an encouragement for some people who maybe lost everything to be able to go to the store with Dan and Mary and basically get some really blessings from God. So if you wouldn't mind telling us, Dan, some of those experiences, I'm sure a lot of our listeners would like to hear them.
Well, I'd like to first mention about, you talk about wives and them being a source of strength, and that's certainly been the case here with my wife, Mary, and Homeworks. And as I look back on the 10 years that we have been running this, there was just no way that I could have done it without her. And so it's been a real joy and a blessing to have her by my side involved in this. She just brings that that special care and concern and just the womanly effect that has helped make us successful. So God has used that in an amazing way. One of the things I had mentioned earlier is that we'd like to speak into people's lives as we're able. We like to speak spiritual truth. Not that we like to hit them over the head with it, but just as their hearts and minds are open, we like to help lead them to truth. And truth, obviously, is found from the Bible. And I'll just share an example. We had a truck driver stop by yesterday. He lives a couple of hours away, and he frequents our store every few weeks. And we had not quite opened up yet. As you know, yesterday we had snow, and we were still working on clearing out that snow. But I took some time to speak with him, and he is what I would call a spiritually disoriented God seeker. He wanted to know what I thought about relevant questions of the day, like homosexuality, and in particular, he and his wife are going through a tough time financially. And unfortunately, with the healthcare situation in this country, it's making it harder and harder for him and his wife to make ends meet. And actually, they would be doing better financially if they were not married. They would be able to meet their medical bills much better if they were not married. And so he wanted to know what I thought about, you know, them getting a divorce, but mentally staying married. They want to stay married, but financially it's just really becoming harder and harder for them to be able to do. And although there's no easy answer to that, these are the kinds of issues that people are struggling with. And I think we, in many, many cases, can find that truth in the Bible, particularly the New Testament, through the words of Christ. And so as we hear those situations, we take time to pray with the people. We take time to really point them to where the answers are, and that's through Christ. Some of the other things that we do, I touched upon being able to pray for people for healing and emotional situations as they come in. And we had a lady by the name of Betty that came in about 4 years ago. The neat thing I'd like to say, first of all, is that we serve a God of miracles, and we serve a God that is still in the miracle business today. And I like to operate that way and expect that God is going to work miracles. Anyway, this lady came in. I overheard that she had cancer, and I went up to her and asked her if she would like me to pray for her for healing. And her response was, absolutely, I'm ready for God to either heal me or take me. She had had stomach cancer for 2 years, was still undergoing chemo treatments, was wearing a beanie head cover because she had lost most of her hair. But we sat down right in the showroom, and I laid my hand on her, started praying for her, and she immediately started getting warm and warmer and warmer, and she just got very excited because she could tell that God was obviously doing something within her. We spent about 5 minutes together. She left in joy, knowing that something was going on. And it wasn't until about 6 weeks later that I saw her again, and she looked terrific. And I said, Betty, it's great to see you. You got to tell me what happened. And she said, I had a doctor appointment the next day. They couldn't find any trace of cancer within me. Doctor said, I didn't have time to speak with you right now, but you need to come back and tell me what happened. And she had also had 3 ulcers that were gone. She received her appetite back. She had been on a liquid diet and wasn't able to take food for 2 years. And she got her diet back for solid food. And so it was a clear example of God healing her. And we've seen other examples of that as well. So I would just like to encourage people that are going through physical difficulties to seek out the Lord, because he does still heal today. And I think he can still heal this nation as well.
Absolutely, Dan. I think, you know, those are two very, very good examples of, you know, the everything that you do and everything that is done for you and with you as well.
And that God does through them.
Right. And I'd also like to say that in Psalm 33, it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And my personal opinion is that I feel that we have gotten away as a nation from this God, from God being our Lord. And I believe that as a nation, if we receive him again as our God, that he will again continue to bless this nation.
Well, thank you very much, Dan, for staying. I know you didn't expect to stay for a half hour here, but we're very happy to have you, and we're very glad that you shared, your stories with us.
Perhaps Mary has some stories to tell.
I don't really have a whole lot of stories. I'm just thankful for all the customers that we have that have become our friends. very thankful for that. I'm very thankful for all the people that we've been able to help all these years. When my husband was talking about our need of furniture, it's not just bedroom sets and refrigerators. We have a need for all of those. And we were able to help a single mom that didn't have any furniture. So we were able to donate over $500 worth of furniture to her. Mm. And so those are our needs for our big furniture donations. I'm very thankful for the great employees that we have. And we were asked earlier about volunteers. It was a blessing that just within these past 2 weeks or so, we've had 4 volunteers come into the store. And just it was such a huge blessing for us. And so I'm very thankful for how God has always been working and helping us along the way.
Well, we're very thankful for both of you. Please check out Homeworks. It's in Douglasville, as you mentioned.
Correct.
Check them out on Facebook. Give them a Google search. I usually say that for most guests. Yeah, just throw out a Google search. You'll find something. We have to head to a commercial break, but thank you both of you for staying a little bit longer and being able to share those stories with us, okay?
Thank you.
We're going to head to a commercial break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL, 34 minutes past the hour. Just got finished with a terrific interview with Dan Galaska of Homeworks up there in Douglasville. Pretty wonderful thing that's being done up there, wouldn't you say so, Al?
It really was. That was quite a segment, the last one, a lady getting cured of cancer. It just proves that God is alive, and who would think that you could go to a secondhand store and find God? But I guess God had it all planned out a long time ago, because He directed Dan and Mary to start the store, and basically we're very, very happy to have them here on the radio station, and to basically direct our listeners not only to go up and get a good deal as far as furniture, clothing, or whatever, but on the other hand, if you have ailments, you might want to get prayed for by Dan, because he's a person that listens to God and does as God directs. Obviously, his wife Mary is in the same caliber, and he's a godly man, and hopefully, he'll be in business many years and help. The economy still is depressed, no matter what some people say. But God is alive, and God is able to save, whether it's provide low-cost furniture or heal you in spite of your circumstances. So I'd urge everybody to consider going up to Douglasville, to Homeworks, and checking it out, and seeing what faith can do in God. God is still alive, and obviously Mary and Dan are on God's side, and I commend them for doing God's will.
Absolutely. We want to talk a little bit now. Al, why don't you tell our guests who our guests are going to be tomorrow?
Well, it's an ongoing process, and we were able to, almost by odd series of circumstances, get access to two very, very knowledgeable people on the Ukraine. And they're going to be coming in tomorrow at 8 o'clock, 8:05 actually, 8:06, and basically explaining to us the situation in the Ukraine. We might, due to the... this Ukrainian thing is front and center. There's actually 800,000, a million people have been displaced by the fighting over there in the Ukraine. This, as one person said, this is not a skirmish or a rebellion. This is a full-scale war. The Russians are putting troops in there, at least from one source. They're basically handing over or providing their latest tanks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's, I forget, at least 5,000 people have been killed. And the United States, under President Obama, has kind of hung back and basically put all these economic sanctions on Russia. And, of course, he's had allies in the European Union there that have done the same thing. And it's really put a hurt on Russia, particularly the lower price of oil. When that happened, it really hurt Russia economically. Their economy is really in terrible shape. But the Russians, instead of bowing to pressure, have basically stepped up their game. They're flying bombers up and down the East Coast that are normally nuclear armed. The latest I heard was they had a bomber fly down the English Channel that could have been nuclear armed. I guess it really woke up the people in the UK. But they're doing all kinds of strident things, testing new missiles, new weapon systems. And right now, the report just reached our Congress where they originally didn't want to provide any armaments to the Ukraine, but now they're reconsidering. It might be time to do that because the Russians have stepped up the incursions into the Ukraine. The fighting is, 12 people killed here, this, that, and the other thing. If you go on the news, you'll see that it's really a dynamic situation. And the Russians have access to the Black Sea. They ought to be able to sit down and basically iron all these things out in a peaceful setting. The Ukrainians have been dealing with the Russians for a long time. If people in the know that follow the news like I do remember the Green Revolution. They had a premier there that was actually poisoned. He was terribly disfigured for a while. And the Russians have continuously intervened in the Ukrainian affairs. They still regard it as one of their provinces, like in the old USSR. And so it's ongoing. Russia deserves respect. It's, in a way, it's not unreasonable, one way or the other, to allow them access to the Black Sea. But they're so heavy-handed, they almost want to take over to the Ukraine and not, work out a treaty. So this can't be allowed to happen because we not only have the Ukraine, we got Poland, we got Estonia, we got Finland, we got other countries. Finland wasn't, but basically other countries that were part of the USSR that Putin has publicly said he really admired the USSR, he'd like to reestablish it. It's like, no, that can't be in the game. We got to start demanding that our allies over there, NATO, start thinking defense. We got to start. Putin is such a, some people might even say he thinks like the old Kaiser used to think, like the old Tsar used to think, territory, land. And, of course, President Obama is kind of the opposite of that. It's interesting that right before the election, President Obama saw Putin and leaned over to him, was caught on the microphone. It wasn't turned off. I can essentially give you more after the election. So President Obama thought Putin was the guy to be trusted, that he could probably do some minor thing that could get his favor. Now he's finding out that Putin doesn't want some minor favors. He wants the eastern part of the Ukraine, or maybe perhaps the whole of the Ukraine. And basically, I remember when the Soviet army marched into Hungary and made sure it remained in the Soviet bloc. So this is not something that we really need to think this through. We need to come up with plans. It wouldn't be a bad idea to have a debate about it. I I originally thought that right when it started, we ought to position perhaps one of the airborne divisions, the 82nd or the 101st, right on the Polish-Ukrainian border to send a clear message we weren't going to allow Russia to take over the whole Ukraine, of the whole Ukrainian state there. Could have put a Marine division there, too, and we could have started building a network of infrastructure, railroads and whatever, to cart armor divisions across Europe from Germany mm-hmm. to the Ukraine if necessary, just to show our resolve that our – and if you don't show resolve to people like Putin, they're not going to back down. These people want to intimidate us, and they poisoned the Ukrainian prime minister. They poisoned former KGB gentlemen in England. They're brutal people, and they need to be confronted with, well, dealt with respect. But on the other hand, you can't run roughshod over the world. And so this is it's in all the news. Basically, we're going to have two acknowledged experts here tomorrow. One's a retired colonel, U.S. Army. He went to the War College, 26 years, and retired. And basically, still visits the Ukraine 2-3 times a year for weeks at a time. And a lady lawyer that graduated Temple. And they're going to be here. And I wish perhaps other would like to call in and ask them directions or questions. These people have feet on the ground, and they know the situation. The retired colonel actually gave advice to Representative Congressman Gerlach on weapons that might be given to the Ukraine to defend themselves. And he said the same weapons that he recommended a year or so ago are now being talked about to be sent to the Ukraine but a year late. Maybe if we would have sent them originally, maybe we would have drawn the line a little quicker. The war would be over, people would be calmed down, and they wouldn't be flying up and down the East Coast with these huge bombers. So we're going to be right in the middle of it. And WFYL was there when the Egyptian crisis came, and basically we told the whole story about the Muslim Brotherhood and the people of Egypt, like 8 million protesting in the streets of a 30 million person country. And sure enough, the Egyptian people are ruling themselves to a very major degree now. And I think everybody would agree it's better to have what we have now than the Muslim Brotherhood in charge of the country.
Hey, we've got to head to a commercial break. We'll be right back after this. Stay right there. Welcome back to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL. Thank you for listening to our program this morning. We had Dan Glasgow on. Wonderful to talk to us about Homeworks in Douglasville. Not just an average thrift store. Always looking for volunteers. Take a little bit of time out of your day to go ahead and check them out. Remember to listen to our program tomorrow. We're going to have two experts on the Ukraine in here to talk a little bit more about what we were able to get through today and what is the current situation and what's happening there. We want to talk a little bit more about that because it's certainly something to keep your eye on. Right now, however, Al had made mention during the break that he wanted to mention something about IRS, I believe it was, Al.
Yes, here's an article that is pertinent. As many of you know, we have played periodically the Black Robed Regiment, and it's about pastors preaching from the pulpit. And I didn't even know this myself, but in the sound recording we have from I think it's Pastor Dan Flynn from Oklahoma. Basically, the Black Robe Regiment, it's actually a DVD. We've just taken the sound off of it. But the the Minuteman, the first shot heard round the world of there in Lexington and Concord, the commander of the company that basically faced down the British at the bridge was actually the local pastor. And so there's a long history, and this is particularly true here in the Jeffersonville area, the Trappe, Pennsylvania area, because the Muhlenbergs are from Trappe, and they're buried up there, including a general from Washington's army. He's the one that recruited 300 parishioners after preaching a sermon. He parted his ministerial robes and showed he was a colonel in the militia. 300 of his parishioners joined him, and they went from the Shenandoah Valley. There's actually a marker here at Valley Forge that says the Muhlenberg's Brigade. And if I'm right, if my memory serves me right, when Washington died, members of the Muhlenberg Brigade were the first such a good-looking, smart, well-drilled unit that they escorted General Washington to funeral services here in Philadelphia. So, but this is the background of this country, and now we have this President Johnson. I personally have some ill feelings with President Johnson because of what happened to President Kennedy in the Vietnam War. But he also, beyond all that, which is enough, he basically put a stipulation that pastors couldn't preach. One of the bills he sponsored, the pastors couldn't preach about anything political from the pulpit. But Judicial Watch, who watches the government and sues them when they get out of line, which is very, very often, sues the IRS for records about the IRS monitoring of churches. IRS is monitoring churches for allegedly illegal political activity. On November 6, 2014, Judicial Watch filed a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit against the Internal Revenue Service seeking any and all records relating to the agency's monitoring of churches and other tax-exempt religious organizations for alleged political activity. The lawsuit also seeks communications between the IRS and the Freedom From Religion Foundation concerning such alleged political activities. The suit was filed in the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia, Judicial Watch versus Internal Revenue Service, and then it gives a number. In 2012, the FFRF filed a lawsuit alleging that the IRS had routinely ignored its complaints about churches promoting political candidates, issues of or proposed legislation. In July 2014, the IRS announced that, according to the terms of the agreement reached with the FFRF, it had indeed been regularly monitoring churches and other houses of worship for electioneering and other political activity. According to June 27, 2014 IRS letter to the Justice Department, the IRS had targeted 99 churches since 2010 that it merited high priority examination for allegedly illegal electioneering activities. The church targeting was determined by the IRS Political Activities Referral Committee. The Washington Post reported on July 21, 2014, that under the current congressional investigation, the IRS for improperly monitoring conservative groups, there is a moratorium on all IRS investigations of churches and nonprofit organizations. Emphasis added. Yet in its own admission, the IRS continues to monitor and compile lists of suspect churches that merit high priority examination. Among other things, Judicial Watch is seeking to discover to what extent the out-of-court settlement between the IRS and the FFRF involves singling out churches and other tax-exempt religious organizations for special scrutiny, and if so, why? And this is of concern. I'm glad there is an organization called Judicial Watch that has filed hundreds of lawsuits to basically preserve our freedoms, to make known what is often hidden, sometimes the courts are the only way to address these things, although you'd think Congress could do it, and Congress could mandate it, and particularly since 92% of the House and Senate are professed Christians. But with the administration stonewalling, and the president giving executive privilege on a lot of these things, it's been an uphill battle. And so Congress trying to do this is hard, but Judicial Watch, under the leadership Tom Filton, is basically going ahead and doing a great job of more or less harassing them when they shouldn't need harassment if they're doing what they should do. And, you know, sticks and stones can break your bones, but names will never hurt you. You know, yeah, somebody's always going to say something they don't like about you. But on the other hand, the Constitution guarantees your right to say it. And as long as you don't slander somebody, you know, people should have the right to say that, particularly churches. In my mind, the church is an equal to the U.S. government. It speaks for God, or it should speak for God, and they should be supported universally by their congregations, as I support the churches myself. So it'll be interesting to see how all this shakes out. It's from one, I mean, it's always going back and forth between the church and the government, but this will be interesting to see how it turns out.
Yes, this has been something that has been happening for a long time. I think one of the things that Sam Rohr always mentions on our Friday program for Constitution Matters is that no 501(c), you know, church has ever lost that status. You know, and if they were to do that, then I think there would be a lot of people defending them.
So, a lot of people.
Certainly something to think of.
I think they actually have an organization of pastors that makes every effort to test that rule that Johnson put in there. They want the IRS or the federal government to crack down on them for being involved politically. And then they want to go to the Supreme Court and get a ruling on it, which they think they'll win, and they probably would.
Well, we are finished with our program for this morning. However, we will be back tomorrow from 7 to 9 a.m. I want to thank once again our guests today, Dan Galaska and Mary, his wife, for coming in and all that they do for the community around them. From all of us here in the studio, thank you very much for listening to our program today. And as always, please stay informed.
Thank God.